Support for the South Carolina Lead is made possible in part by AARP. The coronavirus continues to affect us all, keeping us apart, but we don't have to be alone. AARP is here in South Carolina, providing information that can help you and your family. Click to connect at aarp.org/sc.
Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on July 10th, 2020, from my home studio in Columbia. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features the latest attempt to slow the spread of COVID-19 through the governor's new Last Call Executive Order, a look at the hit the tourism industry's recovery is taking, what changes in worldwide trade and manufacturing could happen in the future, and more insight on the latest COVID-19 data. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from you all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a one-minute-long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, and just what's going on in your world. If you've had any situations dealing with COVID-19, how you're coping with this spike, what you and your family are doing to stay safe, we want to know. 803-563-7169. Currently in South Carolina, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 922 deaths, and currently there are 52,273 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of July 11th at 3 p.m. Now for some more data. There are currently 1,438 hospital beds occupied by patients who have either tested positive or are under investigation for COVID-19, and 177 of those patients are on ventilators. And as of July 9th, 89% of South Carolina patients confirmed to have had COVID-19 are estimated to have recovered from the disease. So some positive news there. But again, don't let that fool you. Don't let that lull you into some sort of false sense of security that, yes, while many cases are mild and people might not even show any symptoms, it is still a very serious disease with ramifications, like we said, of 922 people so far dying from it in South Carolina. Bear with me on this one. It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. Regular crowd shuffles in. There's an old man sitting next to me, making love to his tonic and gin. He says, "Hurry up and drink. This bar closes at 11 p.m. Get the hell out of here. Get out." And now for another bar song. That's right, you winners, losers, chain smokers, and boozers. Governor Henry McMaster has declared that you can no longer drink where everybody knows your name after 11 p.m. henceforth. It is declared. That's right. The governor says this is aimed at the young people who aren't taking COVID-19 as seriously as the older folks due to the higher infection rates among them. Here's the governor.
Many of the young people in our state, as well as around the country, seem not to be taking the virus as seriously as they should, and we hope that this will help all of us, particularly the younger generations, to realize just how serious this virus is and how much is at stake if we don't see these infection rates start dropping. The suffering and the economic damage are not all that are inflicted by the virus. We also have mental consequences, we have emotional consequences, we have educational consequences, and they're all tied up together. And it is the enormous damage, that's being done, inflicted in our state because of this, despite our best efforts.
Now, this executive order doesn't affect alcohol sold at convenience stores, grocery stores, wine or beer shops. And restaurants and bars that violate the order face fines and may have their permits suspended.
Businesses, livelihoods, and educations have suffered. So we are saying emphatically, it's time for our younger adults to behave like mature adults. This is very serious. Wear your mask. Keep that distance. Wash your hands. Be careful. Don't cough or sneeze or get too close to people, particularly the older people, because although our younger people may feel just fine and show absolutely no signs or no symptoms, they might be just carrying that virus, as we know from the statistics, and unintentionally inflict permanent damage.
McMaster also said, quote, if things don't get better, we'll take other steps as necessary, end quote. We'll have more details on the public health information from that press conference in our medical section coming up. Moving on, in light of the protests that followed the killing of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and other unarmed Black Americans, South Carolina ETV assembled a panel of community stakeholders to discuss the racial injustice that exists in the Palmetto State and across the country. And they did that with South Carolina Public Radio's Thalicia Eady Wednesday evening. Now, I'm going to be bringing you excerpts over the next couple podcasts from this informative discussion as we continue to keep this conversation a priority. Now, listen to this comment from a viewer that SCETV Assistant General Manager Adrian Farewell read, and then the response from Dr. Rosalind Clark Artis, the president of Benedict College.
So we have a viewer. People that believe they are being oppressed need to work at their lives. Get educated so that you can rise above poverty. Being Black has its privileges. As a minority, there are quotas for employment and university enrollment. White people don't get that handicap. Violence and tearing down history shows ignorance. So how do you respond? How do you unpack that and respond to a level of, because I can't tell if this is a question or a comment. How do we respond to that?
So that's a comment, right? That's an opinion, and we can debate how informed that opinion might be. The reality is there was a young woman on social media. Again, young people have taught us a lot in this process. And she articulated the current struggle in the context of the game of Monopoly. Some of you may have seen it. 400 rounds of Monopoly, and I'm not allowed to play. Round and around the board we go. I can't acquire property. I can't build a monopoly, I can't participate, and anything I might earn, grow, or build, I have to give to my opponent for 400 rounds. For 50 more rounds, you let me in the game and I get to participate, but if I begin to accumulate property and build something, you burn it down. Rosewood, Tulsa, right? If you didn't like how I was playing the game, you tore up the game. You burned down my game. You took away my monopoly money. And then after that, you said, well, it's 451. You can play now. Catch up. You have monopolies, you have hotels, you have properties, you have accumulated wealth, generational wealth, and you look at me and you say, catch up. What's your problem? What's your problem? I think that really amplified what this looks like for people of color in this country. 400 years of not being able to play in the game. 50 more years, 65 more years of having limited ability to play in the game, and again, recognizing that if you begin to win, they will take it away from you. And now you look at me and say, what's your problem? What's wrong with you that you can't catch up? Well, I don't know. Why don't you give me what you've acquired for 465 years, and let's see how you do in a fair game. I think we have to think about things in their proper context. And I thought that was really a perfect analogy for how people of color feel. So this notion that an African-American would be given an opportunity to go to college does not disenfranchise you. It enriches you because now you have an opportunity to study beside someone with a different perspective and perhaps grow your own, expand your own way of thinking. You should be grateful that those opportunities exist, and we have an opportunity to have a more broad, a more diverse, a more inclusive educational opportunity for everybody. That's not a set-aside, that's an opportunity, and you should be grateful for it.
Again, that was Dr. Rosalyn Clark Artis, the president of Benedict College, responding to that question. And here's Lyric Swinton, a recent USC graduate and associate at City Bright, LLC. That's a South Carolina-based political and public affairs consulting firm. She gave her perspective on that same question with a focus on the education aspect.
I saw a tweet the other day, and it talked about how in a lot of predominantly African-American high schools, you see more military recruiters than college recruiters. The idea of college isn't presented to a lot of Black students in the first place. Black students are told in middle school, college isn't for everybody. White kids don't hear that until their senior year of high school, when it's almost basically over. Like, you basically failed every test in the book. Black students are told in middle school that, you know, college isn't for everybody. You don't have to do this. Like, you know, maybe it's just not for you. Not college isn't for everyone, but the option is taken out of your hands before you even can even process that there was option in the first place. And I think a lot of times, once you make it to college, if you're able to go to an institution, everybody's experience is not the same. You still can't play in every game. Yeah. So you can't go to and study abroad like your peers because you don't have funds laying around just to be able, you know, to take a flight and take a semester off because that's not doable for a lot of students. There's only but so many of those minority-based scholarships that are even going around to try even the playing field for people to be able to have those experiences. And let's just be honest, a college degree itself by itself is no longer enough. What really gets you across the line after you graduate is those internship opportunities, those co-op experiences. And many Black students cannot participate because they can't afford to work unpaid internships. And that's just the sad truth. And it doesn't mean that Black students are lazy. That means that they were working three or four jobs to keep themselves afloat while they were working and paying their way through schools. And they probably have families that they have to account for as well. It's not a single story. And I think that a lot of times we think that the Black experience is a monolith, and it's not.
And like I said, we'll be bringing you more of that discussion in the coming podcast. You can also find the entire program on scetv.org/race-matters. Okay, now bear with me. Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to sing again. But let's start our business section with a look at the recent unemployment insurance benefits claims data. The South Carolina Department of Employment and Workforce reports that for the week ending July 4th, the number of South Carolinians who filed their initial benefits claim was 16,062. Now, this was a decrease of 897 initial claims from the week prior. And that brings the initial claims total since mid-March to 651,750. Again, these unemployment claim numbers are basically maintaining at this point, showing just how difficult our economic recovery is, how fragile it is, especially as case numbers skyrocket due to the failure to follow simple safety precautions. Also, this is interesting too, and very important for people who might be losing their job or are unemployed. The Federal Pandemic Unemployment Compensation Program expires on July 25th, meaning if you file for benefits after July 25th or you are currently receiving benefits, you will no longer receive that additional $600 from the federal government after July 25th. DOE Executive Director Dan Elzey said people should start planning for that shift and notes that there are lots of jobs available in the state. He said, quote, if the FPUC program expires as expected, individuals need to be prepared for this change and aware of the many re-employment services available through the SC Work Centers across the state. While some of the SC Work Centers have offered re-employment services online and over the phone throughout the pandemic, many of these centers have reopened their facilities to the public. So again, if you're unemployed, you might be becoming unemployed soon. You're going to really start wanting to look for available jobs out there, more stable available jobs out there, which there are. One of the hardest hit industries in our state is also one of our biggest, the $24 billion tourism industry. Before COVID-19, it employed up to 225,000 people. And just this week alone, Charleston was, for the 8th consecutive year, named the top U.S. city by Travel and Leisure magazine. But Dwayne Parrish, who's the director of Parks, Recreation, and Tourism, said Friday that the tourism industry's nascent recovery is being jeopardized by the skyrocketing COVID-19 cases in our state. That has led states to quarantine travelers from our state, canceled flights, and unflattering national headlines that have given us a reputation that will be hard to shake. Here's Parrish.
Statewide hotel occupancy dropped to around 15% in mid-April. We saw 9 consecutive weeks of growth after that, up to 58% the week ending before July 4th. The week ending July 4th, it dropped back to 52%. Clearly, that national publicity surrounding the number of cases has had an impact on tourism, not just for South Carolina, but for other states too. But as we try to get these 225,000 people, all of them back employed, we have to bring our cases down. The recent national publicity around cases has hurt our industry's comeback. I implore everyone, residents and visitors alike, be smart, wear a mask, keep your distance, wash your hands, be smart when you go out. But be smart, enjoy all South Carolina has to offer, but do it wisely.
This is just another example of how people who can't be bothered to wear masks or avoid crowds affect all of us. And finally, we continue to hear from Tom Barkin, the president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond, about a variety of issues he discussed on a webinar with the National Association of Business Economists. In this segment, Barkin discusses the need for the Fed to look closer at monetary issues that affect people of color.
On the economic angle, I'd say West Virginia, South Carolina, and to some extent North Carolina have opened up among the very earliest of the states, Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. among the very latest. And so you do have a bit of a live laboratory in terms of, you know, what it feels in terms of participation in the economy in those states. And, you know, a lot of what you read is true, that I think people being locked up for as long as they were in shutdown really had a desire to get out and interact in commerce again. And so, you know, you can drive up and down 95 and see the differences in the outlet malls of South Carolina versus, you know, Virginia, for example. Another angle that that I've just spent time on for obvious reasons over the last few weeks is just to acknowledge that my district, also the 6th District, which is Raphael's district, that's the former Confederacy. And I think there are just some unique structural outcomes of that that I think we need to be digging into more and understanding more and maybe delivering a different, you know, message. You know, our Black population is roughly twice that of the national average. They're way disproportionately more in smaller towns than the national average. Economic inequality, if you take Rod Shetty's work, Charlotte, I think, was 50th. Raleigh was 48th. Atlanta, by the way, not in my district, was 49th. But, you know, I think we've got economic mobility issues. There's a long history of denying credit in our places. And, of course, you've got the legacy of the segregated school system, which has to do something with workforce development. And so we've taken our research work, and one of the things we've been spending is just understanding the uniqueness of our district. How do we reorient our research around issues like that, which are totally within our mandate, workforce development, the performance of small towns, economic mobility in the big cities, access to credit. And so that's just the second thing that's relatively unique and certainly important, especially at this time.
Jumping to trade, Barkin says some firms may start moving operations out of China as a result of COVID-19. But not back to the United States, except maybe for one industry.
If you didn't believe it beforehand, the notion of, you know, putting all of your supply chain in just one country when you've got virus risk and political risk feels like an idea that one wonders why one ever had it 5 years ago. I would say that moving operations out of China is a lot harder than it looks. It's a lot harder because actually there's some very real reasons people put their operations in China, especially in things like precision manufacturing, where they're really quite good at it and quite cheap. And so there's a competitive dynamic that companies really struggle with. If they move and others don't, and this thing all settles down, are they going to be at a competitive disadvantage? Starting another plant in another country is costly and it's slow. I mean, it's years before that's able to produce at the productivity and at the efficiency that you were beforehand. And again, there's just a lot of uncertainty. Now, all that said, if you didn't believe the trade thing was going to last, then just add to it COVID. And so I do believe at this point, the folks I talked to, as Mary said, they've sort of said, okay, this is crazy. I can't just stay in one place. I've got to, you know, bite the bullet and do it. I agree. They're not moving it back to the U.S. I hear a lot about Mexico. In the apparel, you hear a lot about Vietnam or Indonesia or Malaysia. But in manufacturing, you hear a lot about Mexico. And I just come back to, if it wasn't competitive to make it domestically beforehand, and you have competitors who are not going to be there, then it's really hard to manufacture domestically. The exceptions might be places like healthcare. Easy for me to imagine that there will be mandates coming out of this to have a certain amount of our healthcare supply, just like our national defense supply, manufactured locally. And if an entire industry is mandated to do it, then an entire industry will come on shore. I mean, that again, I just would bow to this competitive dynamic.
Barkin also mentioned that taxes generated by tourism activities like hotels, restaurants, all those great things that fund local governments are going to be facing substantial challenges in the months ahead. The state's director of public health, Dr. Joan Duvey, gets that you're tired of all of this. Who isn't, right? We are all sick of this COVID stuff, but it is still going on now worse than ever. And this virus can spread simply in enclosed spaces where you may be having a loud face-to-face conversation with someone for 15 minutes. Guess what? Let's just hope that everyone's safe there because that can easily spread the virus, she said. But you can avoid such situations and still live your life.
While there is no way to ensure zero risk of infection, we encourage everyone to choose activities that are safer. Indoor spaces with less ventilation, where it might be harder to keep people apart, are more risky than outdoor spaces. Interacting without wearing cloth face coverings also increases the risk. So consider working out at home, taking a walk by yourself or socially distanced with a friend, hike or ride your bike, go camping. You can get carry out from a restaurant. You can enjoy virtual hangouts with friends and loved ones. There are things that we can do to enjoy everyday life while protecting ourselves and others. We must all take action. I am asking you all to take action. Because if we don't avoid these risky social activities, if we don't social distance, and we don't wear our masks, we will see more of our friends, our family members, and our loved ones become ill, become hospitalized, ventilated, and die.
And listen to these eye-opening stats from Joan Duvey.
Since June 1st, we've seen a 436.5% increase in newly reported COVID-19 cases in this 21 to 30 age group. 42% of all our COVID-19 cases have been reported within the past 2 weeks. Please think about that. Nearly half of the COVID-19 cases in the state of South Carolina have occurred in the past 2 weeks.
That's right. Nearly half of all of our cases have occurred in just the past 2 weeks alone. That's just astonishing. Simply astonishing right there. And this has led to high hospitalization rates as well. Here are some more stats.
In acute care hospitals, there's a 75% utilization rate for hospital beds. ICU beds, there's a 75% utilization rate. And ventilators, there is a 25% utilization rate. COVID patients hospitalized represent only less than 20% of inpatients, and COVID patients ventilated represent about 12% of those patients ventilated. So there does remain hospital capacity, and of course DHEC works closely with the Hospital Association and others on surge.
So some more things to think about when you're weighing the pros and cons of whether you should go out to a crowded place to maybe get that beer with friends or go out to dinner or just a crowded place. Just think about these pros and cons, folks. Now this is our wind down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your world. Are you still working? Are you unemployed? How is that process claiming unemployment benefits? Are you worried about the $600 that's going to be running out at the end of the month? Are you in the medical profession? Are you on the front lines of the pandemic, whether in a hospital or maybe you're just working out and about in the service industry? You're out there on the front lines. Let us know what's going on. We want to know 803-563-7169. We're all in this together, even though some aren't doing their part. Others are, when we want to hear about that. 803-563-7169. And AT, do we have any voicemails?
Yes, sir. We have a voicemail today, and it is from old school friend of the pod, Roman.
Oh, I hope
Grand Strand man.
I hope there's a birthday message in there from Roman for me.
I don't know.
Roll tape.
Yeah, let's roll it. Let's roll the tape.
Hey guys, it's Roman calling from Carolina Forest, Myrtle Beach, Grand Strand man. I wanted to say that today's episode, recorded on 7-6, I think it's 76ers, trust the process, that one, AT, that you are now making even bigger steps into being on-air talent and not just wind-down, I think is really, really good for the show. I remember listening way back when Gavin had to kind of convince you even to join the wind-down section. I think you got a great voice for radio. And I think you really should pursue this new avenue. Okay, other thing I want to tell you about. The other day, my daughters and I are in the driveway. We're playing with one of those bubble machines. I hope the listeners understand what I'm talking about when I say bubble machine. So the bubble machine is blowing out all these bubbles. And I say to my 8-year-old, I said, Ada, hey, look, this is what aerosolized coronavirus looks like. And she says, oh, what if we put a mask on it? And we put a mask over the bubble machine, and the bubble stops floating. And this is the perfect visualization that everybody needs to know about. So Ada and I are going to make a little PSA. We're going to put it up on Instagram. I'll at you guys so you can see it if it works out well. I know it's not 100% effective, but it helps. It helps. We can agree on that. Okay. Fire detector, or smoke detector story. ATF feel you, man. This happened to me. It wasn't 5 in the morning. It was in the evening, as I recall. And after going through the entire house and checking every single smoke detector, I realized it was the damn carbon monoxide detector that I'd taken off the wall and put in a closet. Yeah, total head smack move. You guys are doing great. I hope you are going to continue being more and more part of the show, AT. Gavin, we love you, and we love your voice. You're very good at this, but AT is also very good at this. And I think it just makes the show even more rich when you guys have this more back and forth or hearing the two different voices. It's a big part of the reason I listen to you guys now. It actually is not just the news, but the banter at the end, and I like.
So not only is there no birthday message of greetings and well wishes, but he wants to hear more of you, AT.
I know, more you love that, right, Gavin?
That's really great.
Well, also, Roman, he got cut off.
Oh, yeah, he
did. So he sent us an Instagram DM,
read tape.
Here we go. Left a voicemail for y'all this morning. Probably got cut off in the last second because I'm long-winded, and I was cooking breakfast for the girls at the time. Wow. So, I mean, he's pulling double duty there.
It's dead.
Go ahead. I had a P.S., running errands in Myrtle, or as the New York Times recently said, Dirty Myrtle.
Oh, God.
And I see signs on doors of businesses saying it is required for guests and employees to wear masks, but inside it's a different story. I do notice that when I walk in wearing a mask, those with masks around their necks quickly put them on. Not unlike the quick click boys do on their computers when their moms walk in their bedrooms.
Oh, my God.
We received our marching orders last week. We are headed back to Dubai on the 31st. We will have to all be tested with a negative result within 48 hours of travel, and we will be tested again at the airport when we arrive, and then we will immediately go to quarantine for 2 weeks. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
What happens if you get out there and then you get it and, like, they don't let you in? I mean, what kind of...
They're going to quarantine you. I don't know. And he also says, looking forward to keeping in touch once we are over there. I will certainly keep listening to stay in touch with our state. Well, Roman, thank you so much. We're going to miss you. I'm sure we'll still be able to, even though we're different time zones, you'll still be able to listen and engage with us.
Yeah, and more of AT's sweet, melodious voice will be.
Yeah, send me longer messages and I'll read them.
And we also can't wait to come visit you in Dubai. Yes, looking forward to that all-expense-paid trip.
We both need our own room.
Yeah.
We will not share rooms.
We're going to fly
Emirates.
That's
in our rider.
We're going to fly Emirates first class. So thank you so much. Yeah, AT, that was kind of reminiscent of the time when you wore shorts to work. Have we talked about this on the pod yet?
No.
You wore shorts to work because your foot situation, you were wearing your cast.
I messed up my foot and I was wearing a boot. And so I had to wear shorts. our boss, Amy, she has a credit on the show. She goes, AT, no offense, but you got pretty good legs. And Gavin did not like that. So I started walking around saying, whoa, I have the best legs in the building. I have the best legs in the building.
Well, you just can't see mine because I'm wearing pants right now.
Well, it's an incomplete sample set because I'm wearing pants.
Long story short, I took my pants off, walked around. I'm just kidding. I got kicked out of work because I had to show
them off and was like, check out these babies.
What do you think
about
these?
Every day is leg day.
And everyone's like, Mr. Jackson.
Squeeze me. A poof.
Mr. Jackson,
you're fired, sir.
Put your pants back on. Not until you
tell
me.
That's a true story.
It is a true story.
That's a 100% true story.
You have to find out which part of it was true.
Yeah.
Choose your own adventure.
It's a mystery. Choose your own adventure. It's all true. Maybe.
So we got some more in our wind down section coming up on Tuesday. We've gone a little long today, but we'll be there for you on Tuesday with some great more information. We got some other stuff that happened this week that I want to include in the podcast on
Tuesday. Adult bad news.
Yeah, adult bad news too, as well as some reporting that we didn't get to in this episode. So again, thanks for listening to the pod. Show your appreciation by leaving us a review on iTunes or a voicemail at 803-563-7169. You can stay up with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Also, consider becoming an ETV member. Membership starts at $40, and if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all the great programming your donation helps support. So, if you're done with the streaming services, Passport is a great source of great series from public broadcasting across the country. And just great content right there for you. So, for the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. Yeah, Billy Joel, he was in Hamilton.
I think he's famous for being in Hamilton.
I think he was the actor in Hamilton. Have you even seen Hamilton?
Yeah, it's that Billy Joel musical. I'm moving out. That's the big final number of Hamilton.